This is the Gareth Jones on Speed coverage of the 2025 Le Mans 24 Hours. Welcome to race day. Hello, welcome to Gareth Jones on Speed. I'm Gareth. He's Zog.
Hello.
Bonjour. And he's Stevie.
Bonjour.
We've got native, as you can tell. Welcome to the Circuit de la Save in Pays de Loire in France. And I found a position to watch the start of the race. It is currently 20 past two, so we got an hour and 40 minutes before the race starts. And we don't have grandstand seats this year, so we are in the bun fight. And what a bun fight it is. I've never known quite so many people at Le Mans. We got down to the start-finish straight 3 hours or more before the start of the race to try and stake out a position where we could see the build-up to the race and all the cars on the start-finish straight. But we couldn't get in. There was not a centimetre, I won't say inch, not a centimetre. There are five of us, we've got five chairs, and we'd like to sit together, and it wasn't even possible to get one, let alone two chairs at the same space. So I've settled for a position with Zog and Stevie on the S's. So to my right, I can see the Dunlop Bridge, just about. And the sweep into the second part of the S's, I suppose, which is the beginning of the fast left. And this is going to be it, right? This is going to be it for the start of the race. So I won't see the helicopter, won't see the delivery of the flag, won't see any of that, but I will see the cars blasting past, and hopefully I'm not too far away from the track that you will be able to hear all the cars on the same bit of track at the same time. It's not the usual quality viewing position that we enjoy at Le Mans, but we chose not to get grandstand tickets this year because they're quite expensive, and we're making do with what we've got, which is all right because we've got, well, Zog's got chorizo and cheese and baguettes, and I just polished off a plate of chips, and I think we'll be all right. So, when things start happening, I'll let you know. We're probably not going to be able to report on the race, as it were, this year, but we will report on the race experience from the fan point of view. Enjoy. That is the applause for the marshals. Warmed by the reception they're getting. They're all lined up at the moment down at the edge of the circuit, all dressed in orange. As you know, orange is the official colour of marshals here at Le Mans. But there was some confusion a few years ago where one of the Toyota drivers mistook one of the G-Drive team guys, who was also wearing orange, for a marshal. And he was waving to the Toyota, wishing him luck for some reason. And he thought it was a marshal telling him to stop, so he had to stop on the start-finish straight. And when he did the restart, he used the last of the energy in the battery to get going again, and that's why that car failed on the start-finish straight, losing Toyota that almost certain win that year. Oh. We've decided to put some skin in the game, as they say, for the race this year. We're having a sweepstake where everybody has picked one car in each category, and we'll see how that plays out. And the winner, the one who scores the most points, gets the kitty of 50 quid, because we're each putting £10 in, 10 UK post-Brexit quids. Right, who's supporting what? Stevie is going for the number 38 car in the hypercar class, which is Earl Bamber, Sebastian Bourdais and Jenson Button in the Cadillac Hertz Team Jota, Cadillac V-Series R. in LMP2, Stevie is going for the number 18 car, which I'm going for as well. That's the one with Andre Lotterer. He's pretty handy. Jamie Chadwick, she's pretty handy, and she's my cousin. And Matthias Gilbert. That's the LMP2 choice for Stevie and me. And in the GT cars, Stevie's going for the number 61 Iron Lynx Mercedes AMG GT3 Evo, which is Matteo Cairoli, I think that's right, Matteo Cressoni, and Claudio Schiavoni. She really should be called Matteo Schiavoni, really, just for continuity. Phil in hypercars, as you know, he's a big Cadillac man, and he's sticking to his guns, so he's going for the number 101 Ricky Taylor, Jordan Taylor, and Philippe Albuquerque car. Philippe Albuquerque sounds like he should be from Merseyside. In LMP2, Phil's going for the number 37 Tom Blomqvist, Tristan Vautier, Alex Malkin, IDEX Sport. They're all Orica Gibsons in LMP2, of course. And in GT3, Phil's going for the number 95, Marino Sato, Sean Galale, he's good, and Darren Long. United Autosports McLaren 720S, GT3, and I think that's my car as well, actually. Chris in hypercar is going for the number 4, Nick Tandy, Philippe Nasr, Pascal Wehrlein, Porsche, Penske Motorsport. In LMP2, Chris is going for the number 16 RLM car, which is, I'm checking the drivers in front of me, where is it? Patrick Pilet, Ryan Cullen, and Michael Jensen. RLRM Sport. Zogga, you want to discuss your choices briefly with me, Zog?
Sure.
Right, why did you go with the number 38 Cadillac, Bamber, Bourdais and Button? Because it'll start with B.
It's because they qualified well. They were second in hypercar quality after hypercar.
That's right, yep.
I love Genesis Button. Bourdais a local boy. That's it. There we go. Local boy in a car that qualified super well, so that's my pick. Also, nobody else had picked 38. And though I honestly want the Nick Tandy Penske Porsche to win, I'm picking 38 in the sweepstake because I have a better chance of sweeping rather than splitting, because I know somebody else had picked the number 4 Porsche. So that's my thinking there. In LMP2, I've gone for, as you have, the number 18 IDEX Sport Lotterer Chadwick Gilbert entry. I'm a fan of Jamie Chadwick. I think it'd be great for a British woman to win that category along with her teammates this year. Plus, it's the 50th anniversary of Michel Mouton taking honours at Le Mans in 1975, so that would be nice. Marking that anniversary in that way would be terrific. Also, I think they you know, and I expect them to be competitive, so that's not quite so much of a punt, maybe, as 38. And then in LMGT3, I've gone for the 61 AMG, driven by Maxime Martin, Audenouis, and Martin Berry. And my thinking there is simply that car is going to look and sound great, and I can pretend that Matt Berry is one of the drivers in that team. There we go, that's my thinking.
I'm driving a Silver Arrows! Yeah, good choice. Matt Berry, well, not Matt Berry, but close enough for rock and roll. Yeah, we'll allow that. Stevie, I've introduced yours, but why did you go for the number 38, which is, hang on, I'm going to look it up.
It's the Cadillac with Button.
Yeah, so that's the...
Of course.
But I've just looked at my cars, and I realised that Zog copied me.
Ah.
Have you seen?
Yeah, and I'm...
Exactly the same selection.
And I managed to do that, you know, before you even made your pick. I mean, that was a pretty awesome trick I pulled off there. Come on. That's impressive.
You're going for a split then, if you guys... Yeah, well, you're going to have to share the winnings.
No, you chose them first.
You've entirely defeated my strategy of picking at least one entry there that wasn't going to be a duplicate with anybody else and would therefore ensure that there wouldn't be a split. This is... hey, listen, it's okay. I'll chop... I'll top with you. We've chopped enough pots at poker that I'm happy to chop the sweepstake here if it comes good.
Anyway, Zoggy, he clearly knows who knows about the cars here, and so we just copied him, and that was it.
Well,
very good choice.
I'm wondering, as the adjudicator of the sweepstake, self-styled, somehow we have to split you two with the same choices. So I may have to randomly pick another car in one category for one of you, and we'll flip a coin to see who gets it, right? And that is your separator.
I like the idea of a tiebreaker choice. But I think we have to make that choice.
Okay,
and it has to
okay.
be it has to be one car in one category. Okay, what are you going for?
I'm going for one of the Valkyries.
Good choice.
Right, okay.
Very good choice.
Okay,
which
so
one? Have a look.
I don't know.
Oh, good choice. Yeah, he's going to have a look at the book. Zog, what would be yours?
It's well, in that case, if we're picking a hypercar, I'm going to take the number 4 Penske Porsche. That'll be my tie-break choice.
Okay, we have to write that in then. We have to write that in.
Yeah.
And how do we do this? You now get two choices in hypercar, which means that everyone else technically needs two choices in hypercar too, doesn't it?
No, because nobody else is doing the same entries. So because we're doing a 3-2-1 points thing such that we're awarding points for where each of our cars come in the order... Because there's only one duplicate set here, it's very unlikely that you're going to get a tie-break situation with any other combo of the group than me and Stevie.
How does it work, though? Because do you have to choose between your original hypercar choice and the new one? You can't have them both,
No, you can. Of course you can have them both. Surely the way it works is if we're tied on points with the cars we've got there...
Oh, you use the other one as the adjudicator.
I
understand. I get it. Okay. I understand. Right. Write yours in there, Zog. And I did have a pen a minute ago. I did have. I'll find it in a moment. And who else? We've done Phil. We've done Chris. Did I finish doing Chris's choices? I did. We've done Stevie. Hey, we'll let you know at the end of the race. Just realised I haven't told you my choices in their entirety. So... here we go. In GT3, I've chosen the number 59 United Autosport McLaren because this is the 30th anniversary of McLaren's famous win where they won with what was essentially a road car. And in that car, well, not that car, but in the car this year, it's a United Autosport McLaren, Gregory Saucy, Sebastian Bode and James Cottingham. Good luck to McLaren this year. I think that would be amazing. They're having a good year, and they've got a good reputation at Le Mans, and that's why I want them to win that category. In LMP2, I've gone, for the IDEC Sport, André Lotterer, Jamie Chadwick and Joubert, the number 18 IDEC Motorsport car. But for the overall win, my choice is... what do you think I'm going to go for? Come on, you know me. I'm going for the Ferrari. The number 51 Ferrari, though, which is... the car that won the first time round that Ferrari returned to Le Mans a couple of years ago. That's Alessandro Perghini, James Calado and Antonio Giovinazzi in that beautiful Ferrari 499P. Now, who could actually win this race, though? I may have a sneaking suspicion that the BMWs could be in with a shot. I don't know why I say that. They were there in hypercar qualifying, so they've clearly got a quick car. Let's see how the race plays out. I'm also, of course, watching the Valkyries because they sound amazing. I welcome them almost more than any other car to Le Mans, with the exception of Ferrari, because they look so beautiful. The spirit of the rules, this car was designed for the spirit of the rules. Well, the rules were designed, the spirit of the rules, were designed to allow cars from the road to compete in this class. And the only people who are doing it, Aston Martin, with the THOR the Heart of Racing team. If I had to choose between the two Astons, I think it's the Harry Tinknell, Ross Gunn and Tom Gamble car, the 007, if I had to choose. But I'll be applauding Marco Sorensen, Alex Ribeiras and Roman De Angelis in the other car, the 009. What a great shame. I can't hear the PA up here, which is playing Le Marseillais, and surrounded by French people here who all quietly sang, because they're all wearing headphones and listening to it on the PA. My Radio Le Mans coverage is patchy. It comes in and out, and it's not a Radio Le Mans problem, it's a Gareth Jones problem, because everyone else seems to be able to hear it in our group. Right, looking at the screen now, here we go. This is one of the more dramatic bits. Oh my gosh. The French military helicopter does this incredible run down the start-finish straight, delivering the flag to start the race. I wonder if we'll see it. It might just... No, it's... Oh, yeah, here we go. He turns away before he flies past us and goes outside the circuit safely. Amazing that they can get permission to fly over people with... I know it's a military vehicle, but, you know, very risky, very tricky. Right. The flag has been brought down. It's been delivered into a French Jeep-like vehicle. I don't know what that's called. Phil might know. He might know. There's still a massive crowd on the grid for the start of the race. We're now 15, 36, 24 minutes, the start of the 24 hours of Le Mans. Watching the action on the screen again, two soldiers have got out of the Jeep-like vehicle, almost certainly a Peugeot. Or is it? Oh yeah, it's the G-Wagon built under license by Peugeot, isn't it? They do that. And the flag is very ceremoniously, the tricolour, the French national flag, is being delivered with the numbers 24 written on it to whoever that is that is going to start the race. And the flag is waved. Stevie, who is that waving the flag? Any idea?
Roger Federer.
He plays tennis, doesn't he? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thought I knew the face. I don't. No idea, honestly. The last tennis player I was enthusiastic about was called Dokic, Elena Dokic. A really grumpy Australian tennis player way back. This is some 25, 30 years ago, and I thought she was great. I wish I knew about more stuff than the stuff I know about. There's a lot of stuff I've no idea about. Now, we've told you about the drivers that we've all chosen, one or the cars in each category. But I've also noted a bunch of other drivers as well, a bunch of other cars as well, who are worth mentioning. Kubica, of course, in the AF COS Ferrari, not the official Ferrari, but the Indy Ferrari, or semi-Indy, you might say. Kubica, Yiffy Yee, and Phil Hansen, always worth watching. Yiffy Yee's pretty handy. Kubica, if he won, that would be beautiful, wouldn't it? I've got hiccups, I keep having to interrupt myself. Our Zog's back. Zog just made a mercy dash from our position at the S's all the way back to the entrance to the Mulsanne Strait, or Bonaudrière, I believe it's pronounced in French, to collect half the elements that he needs to make margaritas. Get what you need, Z?
Yes, got the ice, we're all good, huh?
Ice. We have everything else. They have the ice, so he's traded some ice for this. Right, where were we? Other cars I'm watching, of course, all the Ferraris are technically mine because I am Tifosi. Neil Gianni, I mentioned, of course, an old pal of mine from A1 Grand Prix. He's in the Proton competition Porsche 963, and I'd like to see him do well. And if I was going to pick another car, it's the Valkyries, isn't it? You know, they just sound so beautiful, and I'm so pleased they're here. So I'll be watching the Valkyries as well. In other classes, things worth noting, Valentino Rossi is racing here, of course. Number 46, of course. See, I know that much about motorbikes, yeah? He's sharing the car with Kelvin Mandelinda and Ahmad Ali Hakti in a BMW M4 GT3 Evo, run by Team WRT. Who else have I picked out as worth watching? Michelle Gatting, Rahel Frey, and Celia Martin. Although one of those drivers has been changed. I can't remember which one had to drop out. It's the Iron Dames, run by Iron Lynx, in a Porsche 911 GT3. An all-female team is definitely worth supporting in motorsport, any branch of motorsport. And at the very highest level, this one, brilliant. Riccardo Agostini, worth a mention, in the Richard Mille AF Course Ferrari 296 GT3. Is Riccardo Agostini related to that Agostini? Because I know it's a fairly common name in Italy, but I wonder, I must look into that. Lilo Wadu, of course, is the reason I'm following that car. The only woman ever to win a WEC race, I believe. And Custodio Toledo is in the other car, of course. He should be in a Triumph. That's a sound that you don't often hear at Le Mans. The sound of a cocktail being shaken by my great friend and associate, Zog, who's brought the kit to make margaritas. Brilliant, Zog. Absolutely brilliant.
Well, we had to improvise a little bit. I left the cocktail shaker behind, you know, because you have to make a few compromises. But a couple of plastic pint glasses jammed together do the trick there. And I've made a pre-prepared margarita mix. Yeah, and... Oh, man, that's good.
Zog, you got a round of applause from the French people for that. That was amazing. Has everybody got a drink now?
Yeah.
Well, can we toast the world's greatest motor race?
Absolutely.
And the joy of sharing it. Cheers. Not just with you guys, but I'm going to cry. I do this every year. But all these lovely French people and the rest of you listening to the podcast. I always get emotional at the start of the race. It's stupid, isn't it? I must be getting old. Cheers. Salute.
Cheers.
Salute. Less than 2 minutes to go on my watch. I've composed myself now. Funny, I wasn't expecting that. Well, it's actually 11 minutes to 4 o'clock. Oh, this is this tennis player bloke, Roger Federer, now standing on the start-finish straight with a microphone. And he's going to say something like 60 love, isn't he? I don't know. What do they say, tennis players? Gentlemen, start your engine. Here come a couple of Eurofighter Typhoons. Everybody stands up. You can see the Typhoons on the screen, flying as slow as they possibly can up the start-finish straight. And I'm hoping they're going to be followed by the... Oh, there they are. Yeah, they don't come past us. Oh, they're Rafales. Of course, not Eurofighters, they're Rafales, aren't they? French-built fighter. Performing a circuit of the circuit. And here come the... Oh, no, I was expecting the French aerobatic team to appear, but I can see blue smoke filling the skies down the other side of the Dunlop Bridge. Off go those beautiful French fighters, if it's possible to be beautiful, and the war machine. And one by one, all the cars leave their position. Right, not only is everyone standing up, they're standing on their chairs. I'm not sure that my £9 North Whalian Chinese chair. Here they go. The two Cadillacs, a Porsche, Alpine in fourth, another Porsche, a Ferrari, my Ferrari, number 51. I've missed a couple. Then the second Ferrari, number 8 Cadillac there, then the Kubica Cadillac, the Valkyrie, one of the Valkyries, two Peugeots, one in front of the other in white, the second Valkyrie, another Porsche, and the LMP2s come through. All the LMP2s with their Gibson engines. Notice a massive absence of Russian-funded cars at Le Mans now, of course, since the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. Sporting restrictions mean that you're not allowed to race if you're Russian anymore. There go all the LMGT3s, the United Autosport McLaren, charge through all sorts of colour Ferraris. Here come the Mercedes, where are they? A more Porsche 911s, another 996. I will identify the cars better over there. There's the two Mercedes, silver arrows. One of them was allowed to start the race. They were at risk of exclusion because they had a technical problem during practice, which meant that one of their drivers didn't get any night running. And you're not allowed to run at Le Mans unless you've done a certain amount of night running. However, the ACO, in their infinite wisdom, decided to allow that car to enter the race, but the one driver who hadn't had any night running, he's not allowed to run at night. He can still drive the car in the day. I think the restriction for him is between 8 p.m. or is it 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. something like that. So the darker hours, I won't say the completely dark hours because it doesn't stay dark for long. We're very near the longest day of the year, which means that the night is probably only a matter of 4 hours between proper sunset and the beginning of sunrise. I will be asleep during that section. I've never managed to stay awake for the full 24 hours. I always have to have at least 4 hours at some point. Zog and I have slept at the side of the circuit. We've slept in tents. My phone is bleeping. Let's see why my phone is bleeping. I'm hoping it's Chris and Phil having an absolutely brilliant time. I wish I was with them to talk through what was happening. But let's see. What's this message? Hang on. It's probably just alert from someone telling me a piece of news I don't need to know. Oh, it's Zog sharing photos on the group. That's what that is. Okay, don't need to worry about that. Right, the cars are making their way down the second chicane, is that now? On the Mulsanne Straight. I've stood up so I can see what's going on the screen. And you get a sense of the epic scale as the cars go down that enormous straight. There's a row of some 62 cars racing this year. Helicopter shot from directly above, shooting it. Anticipation. Everybody standing, many people carrying French flags, little children on their shoulders with headphones on, ear defenders, I mean. and a very weird beeping in my right ear from the one earpiece that seems to be connected to my ear at the moment, and listening to Radio Mon, and it's going beep, 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 beep all the time. Wonder if you can hear it. Hold on. Don't know if you heard that. I just held the other earpiece to the microphone, but it's probably not loud enough. And it's rather off-putting, but I'm going to continue talking, because when you're a broadcaster, they say anyone can do your job, apart from when things go wrong. And if you still bring it home, that's what they pay you for. Right, well, I don't get paid for Gareth Jones on Speed. Well, the racing is reward enough. But I am going to continue broadcasting, even with this horrible noise in my ears, which, mercifully, you can't hear, so I shall stop talking about it. Chanting, murmuring, eyes for everybody here fixed on that tennis player, Roger the Federer. Tycho, my son, reckons that Roger Federer is a made-up name. Sounds like someone said to him, what's your name? And he said, it's Roger Federer? Federer? Like a made-up name. Oh, I both love and hate this bit, because they're so far away at this point, the cars. You can't hear them. You can see them. And you know, next time they come round, if they're grouped up together, they'll let them go. I'm doing this in real time, by the way. I'm not editing this lap at all. I'm just going to leave it run. You can enjoy the Atmos. I'll tell you what, let's find out what Zog's review of his... Are you reviewing your margarita?
It's good. I should have put a little more Cointreau in it. I went a little bit light on the Cointreau there, but it's good. It's
works good. For me, brother. Works for me.
No, it's good.
Thank you again.
You're welcome.
Right then, where are they now? Is that the Porsche curves? Big wide shot on the screen of the circuit now. Can see the tens, arguably hundreds of thousands of cars parked in the... Oh, there you go, they're playing also Sprach Zarathustra now, which means they are going to let the cars go when they cross the line on the first opportunity. Looking at my watch, 15:59, and I don't know how many seconds. Again, those who weren't standing have stood. The pace car holding back an angry team of cars just want to let go and race right from the word go. As you know, the 24 hours used to be an endurance race. Can you make it to the end? Now it's a 24-hour sprint. So we get to the pit entry now.
Come on, Nick. Come on, Jay.
Here we go, here's the chicane at the pit entry. The safety car, or the pace car, what do we call it here, has gone. The two Cadillacs lead the field as the clock goes for clock, and off they go. Let's hear them as they come by. Two Cadillacs holding position. Bit of jostling, two or three cars down. Some changes of position we slot in, and here they go. And there they go, the whole field of 62 cars. Didn't look like they were going flat out, but they are. And there's a bit of jostling at the front, where I think one of the Porsches has managed to get into second place already. Is it one of the Porsches or is it the other Cadillac? Hard to see. I'm some distance from the screen. I can see it, but I haven't tuned into the cars yet. Two cars side by side on the Mulsanne Straight. They are racing. They are proper racing. This is not a parade, right? Oof. Right. Race has started. And relax. There are many things I enjoy doing at Le Mans, watching the start, watching the race, watching the cars at the corners, but arguably the thing I enjoy most is meeting up with good pals at what used to be the Guinness tent and is now the Carlsberg tent, a very noisy place in one of the hospitality areas. No, what do you call it? Fan areas, this, yeah. And one of my favourite people in the universe is here right now, a member of the on-speed team, Alex Goy. Hiya.
Hi. Hi, friend.
I want to know, in graphic detail,
hello,
how you got here, because I know a little bit about this. You're going to hate Alex for this. Go on, tell us.
Yeah, so I'm here with Aston Martin. They wanted to see the Valkyrie and see the Vantage GT3. So part of the trip was we drove down from the UK on Thursday in the fleet. So I spent all of Thursday in Aston Martin DBX 707, which was delightful because it was all the motorway stuff. So I was sat in this massive brick of a car with 700 horsepower and one of the best sound systems known to man, listening to podcasts, having a really lovely time.
A massive brick of a Welsh-built car,
yes,
by the way.
Beautifully built, definitely beautifully built. And then Friday morning I jumped into a Vantage Roadster and V8ed my way around the countryside. And then at lunch we were doing a bit of a car swap and I got a nudge saying, Alex, do you fancy a Vanquish? Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Fancy a Vanquish?
Yes, I do fancy a Vanquish. And I drove a Vanquish and there was road closures and I ended up sort of bouncing all over the place. So I spent about 4.5 hours in the thing. The only two things I can confidently say about it is very, 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 very fast and it is also very, 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 very wide.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yes,
right.
There was lots of 5p, 50p going on. and it was so hot on the drive down. It was like the temperature readout was like 31, 32 degrees. So I had the colon cooler on the seats. I had the aircon turned down to freeze me, cryogenically freeze me, make me dizzy. And then the last 10k, I thought, I'll put the windows down. We're near where we're going. And yeah, it just, any attempt, even with the super cooled seats, no, not going to happen. But then we had a lovely evening, lovely barbecue last night. And then this morning I got to the circuit. In a helicopter.
Yeah, that was the bit I was fishing for. As if the choice of Aston's wasn't enough. You flew in a chopper from, what, where, nearby? Or what, a chateau? You're staying in a chateau, are you?
A lovely chateau hotel.
Yeah, I've done that. It's lovely, isn't it?
It's the thing is, I don't exactly know where it is in relation to the circuit, but I do know, as the helicopter flies, it's about 15 minutes away.
Fantastic. And where did the helicopter land?
It lands opposite the circuit. So Blue Sud is, I think, the nearest campsite, so it lands there, and then we got in a shuttle and went to their lovely ivory tower.
Lovely. I thought, you know, the most exotic way I've ever arrived at Le Mans was on a private jet with Persia, where we flew from Farnborough.
I mean, that is pretty exotic.
It was really nice, and we landed at Le Mans airport and we were shuttled everywhere. That was great, but you know, perks of the job. But I'm happy to jump in a car and drive here. We drove in an Ineos Grenadier, which,
yes,
you'd rather enjoy.
How do you find, because I've driven it on-road, I've driven it off-road. Off-road, peerless. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Genuinely an incredible,
yeah, peerless,
piece of machinery.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
On-road, steering's quite busy, isn't it?
Yeah, the back end is something that you have to work with.
And how many tanks of fuel have you gotten through?
All of them.
Yes. You know, do you have the diesel or the petrol?
Mercifully, it's the diesel.
You know, the diesel does about 4 mpg more, so it barely made a difference.
Yeah,
you just spent slightly
exactly right.
More money.
Yeah. I hear that the petrol is 19 to the gallon. We got 23 to the gallon because one member of our team failed to pack their passport.
Did you have to make a quick dash?
We did. We drove all the way from Wales to the English border, which is 60 miles from where we set off. And when we got there, we realised that we had to head back. We added 120 miles to the journey. But we made the ferry. I'm happy with that. Happy with that.
Progress was made.
Yeah, progress was made. Very much so. In a vehicle which isn't really designed to make that sort of progress. No. But I have to say, the three of us, because I'm travelling with Chris and Phil, those two did a really good job of handling a vehicle they've never driven before.
Oh, really?
And fair play, Phil, he owns two Land Rovers.
Oh,
classic.
So he knows the jam.
He knows what to expect. But I do love the Grenadier. I actually like it a lot more than I thought I would. It's not a road car.
It's a very, very cool thing. I've driven it a couple of times on and off-road. The on-road... The one I drove was a very, very early one on road, and it was a bit, the steering, you are busy. It's like a 1920s film where they're like wrestling with the wheel in a straight line.
Constant movement, but that's not unusual. I remember driving a G-Wagon, and it was exactly the same. You know, you go into the corner, you set it up, you're on the corner, you change your line, you exit the corner, you change it again. But I learned all those skills driving a Lancia years ago, so, you know, it's just old school. But listen, we're
Talk about the motorsports.
Yeah, while we're here.
Should we do a little bit, even though I'm not the expert.
Nor me.
There is a lot of motorsports going on around us.
Yeah. Well, there's some exciting new motorsport. We're sitting in front of a display of Genesis. Now, Genesis are the posh end of Hyundai Kia Corporation.
They make some very, very lovely cars.
I
recently drove the GV70 electrified, and that was lovely. I'm driving the G80 in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
The cars are great. Like, they know the market they're going for. They want the Lexus market in the UK. They want the Audi. They want the Mercedes in the US. Of course, there's Infiniti as well. They're very plush. I find there are bits of it that could be a bit more luxury. So you've got nice metal effect switches, but they are plastic. And it's just that little bit off. But they're nice. They've got decent deals on them. So you do see them around.
Yeah.
But now, we're sat... Well, as I say, we're sat in front of their stand here in the village. And we're looking at the Magma Concepts, like super sports car, road car sort of thing. Never going to make it, but it looks hot. And just behind it is next year's LMDH car.
Yes! I'm very pleased. I've been saying for years about time we had a Korean manufacturer at Le Mans, and they're coming in with the Genesis brand. Yep. They're going into hypercar with an LMDH car. They stand a good chance... Well, actually, that's not true. I'm going to take that back. Right, there are an awful lot of very mature race teams running very mature, well-engineered cars. And they're coming into a very growing formula. Ford are coming back as well.
Ford's coming back. They've done the sensible thing. They've done the LMDH thing. Yeah. So they're as off the peg as you can get.
Yeah. Pick and mix, isn't it? Pick and mix.
Like, we want that bit and that bit and that bit and that bit. And then we'll fiddle with this and fiddle with that and we'll make it magic. It's going to be super cool to see it. I mean, hypercar right now, this year, I remember the first year of hypercar was so cool. And then, you know, the Ferrari thundering to a win.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. And now there's more and more of them rocking up.
Almost everybody is here now, with the exception of Dacia.
Dacia, give them time.
Yeah, they're going to rebrand the Alpine as a Dacia, aren't they?
I would genuinely love that.
I know you would.
I would love that so much. You have no idea. I'm driving a Bigster in a few weeks. Can't wait. But the Genesis thing, I'm glad they're doing it. I'm glad there will be more variety. But bear in mind, right now, with hypercar, we've got Aston, obviously, Porsche, Ferrari,
BMW,
Cadillac,
Alpine. Who have we missed?
We've missed someone, but God
knows. Aston Martin.
I said Valkyrie.
Oh, you did. Sorry, right.
You said Valkyrie. Come on, Jones.
I was miles away.
He's had lots of beer. I get miles away when I'm listening to myself as well. But yeah, more variety is good. I mean, I remember my first Le Mans, whether it was the prototypes, the NMP prototypes, all that. And, you know, the race cars didn't look like road cars. The nice idea at the beginning of hypercar is that you could possibly buy one. And currently, there's only two teams that actually do that.
Yeah.
Aston with the Valkyrie.
Yeah.
So the road car and the race car are not related at all.
Of course.
I think there's some tiny commonality, but that's about
it. Well, they started with a Valkyrie Pro, didn't they? Which was the track car, not the road car.
car?
So the story goes, as far as I understand it, is the idea was, we've got the AMR Pro Valkyrie, so let's do that. And then they read the rules quite closely, and there was no way that that would actually be a thing. So the engine, the Cosworth 6.5 V12, sort of similar, and it looks like a Valkyrie.
It does.
But underneath it is not.
Really?
But they are selling 10 LM edition
road
Valkyries.
Going, well, not road they're going, but road privately going. Available
so
track cars.
You can buy one, and they're going to be God knows how many million pounds, but that is the race car. I was talking with someone about it earlier, and they were saying that the information that you get as a driver in the Valkyrie hypercar, there's so much that you need for racing and that you need to compete properly.
Yeah.
But the privately owned ones, they're paring that back a bit. And what they said, that just because the people that own them won't need the minutiae of everything that's going on at every single second.
Yeah. They're not looking for a competitive car. They're looking for something that just performs and is manageable.
They're looking for their own Valkyrie hypercar.
Yeah,
that's what they're going to get.
Yeah.
But he did say that if they want that information, they can easily build it back in.
Oh, bloody heck. But who's going to do that, though, right?
Someone
who owns their own circuit.
If you're buying one of those, there's a good chance you have at least two.
Yeah.
One at the front of the house, one at the back. Maybe one at the summer house as well, when there are.
How about the racing? Who's going to win?
Obviously the Aston Martin vote. No, it's become painfully clear that that's not good. I mean, look at them during the season so far. The pace is within them somewhere, but I think they need to dig deep and maybe, like Tom Cruise in Cocktail or Top Gun, have a crisis of confidence, find the love of a good woman, and then become the best damn race car there ever was. Seriously, every Tom Cruise film from the 80s and 90s, same plot. Days of Thunder, Top Gun, Cocktail, Jerry Maguire, the whole nine. So I'd love Valkyrie because I love Aston Martin, but it's looking like either Ferrari again or Porsche. And the cool thing, if Porsche's properly in contention this time round, I remember when 963 was introduced, it was middle of the pack. It would have been great, but it was a bit disappointing, right?
The balance of performance has really pulled them all close together.
Yeah.
Shall we get a race, right?
Yeah.
That's what we care about. How many cars are on the same lap at the moment? Probably 80% of the hypercar field at the moment, I think. I mean, that's the idea of the game, isn't it? Keep them close and see who can excel. It's not necessarily a technology formula anymore, like Formula One is, and Le Mans has been in the past. It's a race. Mm. Give everyone a chance of winning and you'll keep everybody coming back and the race will continue, right?
Yeah. I would like someone that isn't Ferrari to win it.
Boo.
No, I know you're a Tifosi, but also, remember when Lewis Hamilton won everything? And it's the Mercedes race. Or at the moment it's it's the Red Bull race. Who's going to win. There's not a race. The whole pack is so spread apart. Whereas now there's that opportunity for that. So it would be nice for Porsche to win it again, if only because Le Mans is Porsche's race.
Correct, they've won it more than anyone.
Porsche has won it more than anyone else.
20 times or 19 times? I've lost track.
I think it's fewer than 20. I can't quite remember because I didn't realise there'd be a test. But
if it's going to be a test, we should do it multiple choice.
Le Mans 101.
Zog will know. He's over there. We'll ask him. He looks like you. He'll know, right?
I mean, people still mistake me for Zog. My beard's growing back now, so he's got a beard as well. Bugger! I need a differentiator. I'll get a face tattoo or something.
Grow some hair!
No, I can't! I tried! I've been trying for 10 years. I just had to give up. I'm just a shiny man who likes racing cars, who likes Le Mans and beer. Speaking of,
should we have some Le Mans and beer?
Let's have some Le Mans and beer.
I'm also a shiny man who likes racing and beer, with a big gap where hair used to be.
But, Gareth Jones and Speed Audience, I'm very sorry I haven't been about much. It's just, whenever Gareth says, are you free to record, I've been doing things.
Good, well done,
busy. Sorry, and I'm really sorry I can't be there for the 20th.
But you will have a presence at the show.
I will have a presence.
That's all we're saying, right?
I need to do some planning, because I've got 3 days to figure it out.
3 days?
Yeah, I'll explain when we're having beer in Le Mans.
Wow. And on that bombshell, I want to find out what this is. Alex, good to see you, brother.
Love you all. Love you. As is traditional now. Bye.
See, he knows what to say. Right, beer and motor cars continues. It's 3:15 in the morning. I've no idea what's happening with the race because I've been drinking and chatting with friends. But before I hit the sack, I thought you might like to hear the sound of the cars. As they go through the Dunlop Bridge and through the S's into Tête Rouge. I'm not going to interrupt and tell you what the cars are. I'm just going to give you a few minutes of some car audio porn. You'll enjoy this. I'm not going to bed until I hear a Valkyrie and a Cadillac on the same bit of track. That last car was one of the Ferraris, the GT3 cars. Very quiet compared to everything else. That was the Valkyrie, that...
Yeah!
Which I reckon is probably a C-sharp. Of LMP2, so I'm not going to bed till we hear a Cadillac. Wait for it. Dirty, filthy Cadillacs. Well done. That's it. I'm going to bed. Good night. People often ask me, well, what's it like at Le Mans? Well, I'm going to leave you with this, because you can hear cars in the background now, but I am in my sleeping bag, in my tent, at Tête Rouge, at the Team Langoustine campsite. And you can hear the cars entering Tête Rouge and going up the Mulsanne Strait. That would have been a Cadillac going brown. And I'm going to leave this running just to give you an idea of the sort of noise that you go to sleep through at Le Mans. And here's the thing, if you like the sound of cars, going to sleep with cars running in the background isn't a problem. But when it goes quiet, if there's a safety car in the night and the cars stop running or they're all bunched over one side of the circuit, that's what wakes you up. So, at three minutes past three, I'm going to leave you with a couple of minutes of cars entering Tête Rouge from my sleeping bag. Let's wait for a Valkyrie. You'll know when it goes by. Good night, by the way. I know you're probably listening to this in daytime on your way to work or on the way home, but for me it's good night. But I'll shut up. Here's the sound of the cars. And that's it from my sleeping bag. And that's it from Gareth Jones on Speed for the moment. However, we've still got the stunning climax to the 2025 running of the 24 Hours of Le Mans. And that will be in our next edition of the show, along with some more thoughts on the INEOS Grenadier. All that is in the next episode of Gareth Jones on Speed, episode 521, available in 2 days from now. So that means it'll be out on Saturday, June the 28th. Don't miss it. But for now, see ya.
If you enjoyed this show, then please like, share, and subscribe. For information on how to contact the show, see pictures, read song lyrics, follow us on social media, or to sponsor this podcast, go to garethjones.tv. Gareth Jones on Speed is made in Wales by Whiz Bang.
Cubit, sir, if he was, that would be beautiful, wouldn't it?
Gareth Jones on Speed!